I am so thankful for this time of year, and I am thankful that it serves as a reminder for us to remember the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful we have the liberty and the freedom in which to worship and celebrate the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. I'd like to look at a couple of verses in the Old Testament and then the chapter that deals with the birth in detail of Jesus Christ, and pray the Lord would bless it. I've enjoyed what's gone before in the singing, and also in Elder Aquino, the message in song and in word, and pray that you would, I'd ask an interest in your prayers. Isaiah chapter 7 and chapter 9 point toward the fulfillment of what's going to happen in Luke chapter 1 and chapter 2, also Matthew chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. The Lord's people had gone through many seasons of great discouragement and great despair, and even times of hopelessness. And here Isaiah comes along and he says, There's something better that's in sight. There's something better that's on the horizon. And we're going to point you toward what is better, what's yet to come. He says, the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. This has not ever happened before. This has not ever happened since. But Isaiah says, this is a sign that a virgin shall conceive and shall bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. We're taught in the New Testament that Emmanuel means God with us. So here Isaiah is coming along and he begins to lay the groundwork here. And he says there's some better things coming. There's some hope coming. There's something you have to look forward to. There's going to be a virgin that shall bear a son. She shall conceive and bear a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, it tells us that his name shall be called Jesus. Now, Isaiah chapter 9. For unto us a child is born. This is pointing toward the birth of Christ. This is in the Old Testament, and it's pointing us toward the birth of Christ. And it's giving the folks hope. It's giving the folks encouragement for deliverance. He says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government, or the world, or his people, or his church, shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful. Everything about Christ is wonderful. Everything about what Christ experienced and what Christ did is wonderful. It goes into the category of being wonderful. Christ himself is wonderful. And all of his works are wonderful. And all of his works are full of wonder. He says his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. The Everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. These folks were looking to the coming of Christ. You and I, based on what God's Word has to say, we can look, not only relate to the folks as they were looking unto the coming of Christ, but you and I can look back at the coming of Christ. That yes, Christ did come. He was born of a virgin birth. He was born, not only, I appreciated very much the testimony that Elder Aquino gave, that Jesus Christ not only was born, but Jesus Christ lived a righteous and holy life, and that Jesus Christ gave his life, but yet he was not confined to the tomb, but he's now in the presence of the Father. And you and I can look back. These folks were looking unto the coming of Christ. You and I can look back on the coming of Christ. Not only the coming of Christ, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. And we can feast upon that as we look back. Luke chapter 1. We'll briefly go through chapters 1 and then arrive at chapter 2, and especially the latter part of chapter 2. Old Brother Cecil Darty preached the annual meeting here many years at Mount Carmel. I have a tape, and this first verse was the theme of his message. For as much as many have taken into hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. What we're going to look at this morning is not something that's new. It's not something that's new to you, but it's something that we embrace as God's Word teaches and is most surely believed among us. There's a whole lot of things that are surely believed among us, but one of them is the birth of Jesus Christ, the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, and that Jesus Christ was successful in doing what He said He would do, and He did it, and that's one of the things that surely believed among us. Even as they delivered them unto us, and which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had a perfect understanding of things from the very first, to write these things in order. Well, what is it that He's writing for our benefit and for His glory? The angel Gabriel was real busy. He had a mission. I'm thankful that he's still working on our behalf today. Some of us probably wear him out. I hope he has some help. I'm sure he does. In fact, we're told there's legions of angels. There's hundreds and thousands of angels, and there's angels all around us. But here, this particular angel was sent to deliver a message. It was sent to Zechariah, and it says that Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth, it says that they, this is how they were described, and they described themselves, and it was described of them. It says they were well stricken in age. Now, I don't know how old you have to be well stricken in age, but I don't really get excited about that term, well stricken in age. However old they were older than most folks are when they had children. They were way up in years, and it says that they were both well stricken in age. And it says that the angel Gabriel went to Zacharias. And it says that, verse 13, the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. And thou shalt call his name John." Now, there was a lot of emphasis back in this time that was placed in how you named your children. And there was generally a meaning behind that name. And you'll see that normally they would name the child, the oldest son, after the father. And that's what they thought. That's what the folks around thought. But here the angel Gabriel comes along and not only tells Zacharias that his wife is going to have a son, but he even tells him what his name's going to be. He said, "You're going to have a son, and his name is John." So, angel Gabriel tells him this, and it says, "And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. And he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and strong drink, neither wine nor strong drink shall he drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb." Now, let me just toss this out. This is one of the things that's most surely believed among us. It's something we shouldn't just pass over. It says right here that John is going to be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. Hold on to that, because it goes on down and it tells us that he leapt for joy at the salutation of Jesus Christ. I'm sure that every parent here you're excited and you rejoice when you hear the good news that you're going to have a child. And I'm sure that you pray for that child, and you pray before the child's born, and you pray after that child's born. But I'm sure that you're probably praying that God will give you some elect children, aren't you? I mean, nobody wants non-elect children. You're probably praying that God gives you children that are children of God. Now, it's in His hands. But here it says, and this had to be good news to Zacharias. Says, Zacharias, you're going to have a son. Your wife's going to have a son, even in her old age, even though she's well stricken in age. And by the way, Zacharias, your son John, from his mother's womb, is going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, right there, that abolishes the thought that it is necessary to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ in order to obtain or get or secure eternal life. Completely impossible. Now, God can work through that if He so chooses to do that, but it is not dependent upon that. And here is a great example of it, that John was filled with the Holy Ghost while he was yet in his mother's womb. So the preacher couldn't help with that. Deacons couldn't help with it. Audibly hearing the gospel message couldn't give that to you. The Holy Spirit's the only one that could do a work of grace while someone's in their mother's womb. And he says right here that John had the Holy Ghost when he was yet in his mother's womb. That's one of the things most surely believed among us, that He reaches us where we are when He chooses, and He plants that life-giving voice in us, and He does it 100% of the time effectively, and it's successful all the time, and that doesn't depend on where we are or how far we've backslidden or how far we've gone astray or how rich we are, how poor we are. It doesn't depend on that. He reaches us, and He's effective 100% of the time. It says, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he comes down and he says in verse 19, and the angel Gabriel answering unto him said, I am Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God, and I am able to speak unto thee and to show thee these things. And he says, and John, Zacharias, you're not going to be able to speak. Verse 20 says, and thou shalt be dumb, meaning without speech. And thou shalt not be able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he had tarried so long in the temple. And it says, when he came out, however long it was that Elizabeth was with child, that was the time period that he couldn't speak. And it says, and when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he had beckoned unto them and remained speechless. Zacharias comes out of the temple. Angel Gabriel told him, says, you're not going to be able to speak until your son John is born. And so he went that period of time without being able to speak. It comes on down, it says, after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. And it says that she hid herself 5 months, saying, the Lord hath dealt with me in the days wherein he hath looked upon me to take away my reproach among men. And it says, the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. So here the angel goes a second time. First it went to Zacharias, and now the angel Gabriel goes to Mary. And it says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And here's what the angel Gabriel, the message that he delivers to Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. He says, Mary, God has favored you. Not because she was so good or so right or so perfect. It was because of his mercy. Mary was a sinner just exactly like the rest of us. But he looked upon her and he favored her. And he said, Thou art highly blessed among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and thou shalt bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And in Matthew chapter 1, if you go to Matthew's account of it, it says that thou shalt call his name Jesus. And then Matthew adds to it, it says, For he shall save his people from their sins. So it tells the purpose of Jesus. Matthew delivers the purpose of it. Says that he's going to save his people. Who's he saving? Is he saving all of Adam's race? If that's his people, then he is. All of those that Jesus Christ died for upon the cross of Calvary will be saved. He says he shall save his people from their sins. And Jesus Christ was successful in that. Here he comes down. And he says, Thou shalt call his name Jesus, meaning God with us. Here heaven is coming down to earth through Christ. Here God is coming down to earth in person, in flesh, through Jesus Christ. What an awesome event. There's never been an event before it, and there's never been an event like it since that time. What a tremendous event it must have been. Now look at what he says. This is the angel Gabriel giving the message. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And Mary said unto him, Mary said unto the angel, How can this be, seeing that I know not a man? Mary, young, little virgin lady, is saying in her mind, she says, How is this going to be? How is it that I'm going to bear a son? How is it? She says, Mary says, Seeing that I know not a man. And the angel answered and said unto her, This is how he says that it's going to take place, and this is what's going to happen. And he says, And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now, some of the polls that are taken give statistics that many folks that claim to be Christians do not embrace two things. Number one, the virgin birth. That Jesus Christ was born of a virgin birth. And number two, that the Scriptures, God's Word, are the inspired Word of God. Inspired means God breathed. A couple of the things that are surely believed among us are that this is God's Word. It's God's direction for us. It's our direction for life. It's our direction for knowing who God is. And we believe that God's Word was inspired of God. And I believe it's been kept and preserved for you and I. What a blessing to have God's Word. But another thing that's most surely believed among us is that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin birth. You see, if He had been born from a natural father, there would be sin involved because you've got a sinful father. But the Holy Ghost is perfect and pure. And that's what it took for you and I as a sacrifice for our sins. It couldn't just be anybody. It couldn't just be any sacrifice. In fact, many sacrifices had already been offered over and over and over again. And all they were doing, they were not putting away the filth of the flesh. They were pointing you towards the supreme sacrifice, and that's Jesus Christ. Your only hope is that Jesus Christ was born of a perfect, holy, virgin birth. And that He represented you when He gave His life upon the cross of Calvary. That's your hope. Well, I don't know about you. I just don't have any problem believing in the virgin birth of Christ. It says it. I believe it. Whether I believe it or not, it's still so. But I do believe it. And I get a lot of joy out of it. And I get a lot of comfort out of it, believing it. I don't have a problem thinking it could happen. My goodness. You say, well, it just couldn't happen. It's never happened before. It hasn't happened since. It just couldn't possibly happen. Are we questioning the one that created this earth? And this little earth is only just one small portion of His creation. Are we questioning the one that holds it in its place? Just drive over here to the eastern shore a couple hours and look at that awesome body of water. Wonder how it just stays there. I mean, you believe it does, or you wouldn't walk along the side of the beach. You believe that something holds it in its place. Well, wonder what it is. It says that the angel revealed to her that the Holy Ghost will come upon her. It says, "Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived in her old age." Now, hers was not a virgin birth, but it was a miraculous birth. She was well stricken in age. It says, "And she conceived in her old age." She's kind of like Sarah. She's up in her 90s. And Abraham was about 100. It says, "And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth shall conceive and have a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren." So it was Elizabeth was old and she has a son. Mary has a son that was born of a virgin birth. And I'm sure these two ladies, as they're even pondering this, as Mary's pondering it, as Elizabeth is pondering it, I'm sure that this next verse was there just as an encouragement to them. Or for those that might question it, or those that might doubt it. It says, verse 37, and you and I, this verse is there not only for Mary, it's not only there for Elizabeth, it's not only there for Zacharias, but this next verse is there for you and I as well. It says, "For with God," you may think it's impossible that that would happen. You may think it's impossible for there to be a virgin birth. You may think it's possible for somebody well stricken in age to have a child, for even Sarah to have a child in her old age. You may think that's impossible. But look at what he says. He says, "But with God, nothing is impossible." Well, did you know that that verse doesn't die right there? That verse is there for you and I as well. You may be looking at something in your life and you think it's totally impossible. It's totally impossible that things can be different. It's totally impossible that things can be better. It's totally impossible that I can be delivered from this temptation or this sin that plagues me and struggles with me. It's totally impossible for that relationship to be made whole. It is impossible if it's up to you, but it's not up to you. It's up to God. And He says, "For with God, nothing is impossible." You grab a hold of that verse and you pin it to your refrigerator. You put it on the dash of the car. But you hold on to that, that with God, nothing is impossible. Don't let Satan sell you that bill of goods that you think it's impossible. Because that's a lie from Satan. With God, nothing is impossible. It gets even better. Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Angel comes along. Angel gives her this message. Says, "Mary, you're going to have a son. Your cousin Elizabeth is having a son in her old age. And by the way, Mary, nothing is impossible with you. It's nothing's impossible with Elizabeth. And nothing's impossible with you, with God in the matter." You see, usually we look at the equation and we don't put God into it. But when we put God into it, it changes the outcome completely. With God, nothing is impossible. Well, then, Mary, we've talked on this before. I just want to touch on it because it's exciting. Mary arose and Mary takes off and she runs over to Zacharias and she greets Elizabeth. And it says that it came to pass when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. Did you know the baby, John, when he leaped in the womb of Elizabeth, the joy, he would not have left if he didn't have the Holy Ghost in his heart. Goes to show that the Holy Ghost gets there first. No matter, even if you're in the womb of your mother. It says, "And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out of a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is it to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy." That's John. "And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." Gabriel was sent. Gabriel said, "I'm in the very presence of God, and I've been sent to deliver a message to you." Elizabeth says, "These things are going to happen that have been told you." And Mary says, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Now, it comes on down, and I'm just, for time's sake, going to pass through the rest of chapter 1. But the rest of chapter 1 tells us about the birth of John and the ministry of John. And it says that John is going to go before Jesus Christ. He's going to be a forerunner of Christ, of the message of Christ. And it talks about the blessing that John is going to be in turning folks toward Christ. But then in chapter 2, it talks about, in detail, not going to go into the detail of the birth of Christ, but I want to look at a couple of the bullet points, and especially of two people that were looking forward to the birth of Christ. You know the story that Mary and Joseph went to pay their taxes. There was not any room in the inn, and Christ was born in a manger. Verse 7 says, "She brought forth her firstborn, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Verse 8, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Here's where I believe the song that we sing, "Joy to the World," gets the foundation or gets the theme. It says that the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ, that it's a good thing. It's a great thing. It's a blessing. It's something that brings about joy in an ungodly world, in a world in which is so confused and without hope. The message of Christ brings joy. The message of Christ brings hope. The message of Christ brings comfort. And he delivers this to the... It says that while the shepherds were in the field, that the angel delivers the message to them. And they go unto him. You can read the rest of it. And it says that Mary and Joseph were as the shepherds came and talked about what had been revealed to them. It says that Mary and Joseph, it said they kept all these things silent. They pondered them in their heart. Mary thought about the visit from Gabriel. Mary thought about what these shepherds declared when they came and would give their testimony. And Mary pondered those things in her heart. It comes on down. And it tells us, and here's another evidence that this was the Christ. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And it says the man was just and devout, and he was waiting, this is verse 25, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. The consolation of Israel was the birth of Christ, was the deliverance of Christ. He says, and he was a just man. The Holy Ghost was leading him. The Holy Ghost was directing him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. It says that the Holy Ghost revealed unto Simeon that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now, either the Holy Ghost was off base, or either the Holy Ghost was wrong, or either Simeon had it wrong, or either what he actually says was going to happen did happen. He says the Holy Ghost revealed to this man, Simeon, that he would not die until the Christ child was born. And look at what it says right here. It says, it was revealed to him that he should not see death before the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit in the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, that he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Either Simeon was right or Simeon was wrong. Simeon was impressed by the Holy Ghost that he would not die until he saw the Christ child. When they brought the Christ child to him, the Holy Ghost made him aware that this was the Christ child. And it says he took the child, he blessed the child, and he said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Old Simeon said, I've seen the Christ child. I've handled the Christ child. I've looked for the Christ child. I've looked for this deliverer to come. And now he's here. And he says, I'm out of here. I'm ready to go on and be with the Lord. It doesn't get any better than this. The only place that it gets any better is in heaven itself. We've been given the promise that things are good here upon this earth. But in heaven, Philippians chapter 1, that it's far better in heaven. Simeon says, I've had the best of the best. I've been able to see the Christ child. I've been able to look forward to the Christ child. Then he says, I'm ready. I'm ready to go and be with my Lord. Which thou hast prepared before the face of all thy people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. You see, Mary and Joseph,
had the direct revelation from Gabriel, the angel, but also Mary and Joseph had all of these things that were happening along the way that just continued to reassure them. Not that they were doubting, but continued to reassure them that, yes, this is the Christ child. And it says they pondered those things. It says Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. By the way, I forgot to tell you, but when Elizabeth had the child and it was born, the neighbors came around and they said, well, his name is Zacharias. And she said, no. And then said, his name is not Zacharias, his name is John. And so then they asked the dad, and he writes it down. Nope, his name is John. It's been told us his name's going to be John, and you're going to call him John. They said, well, that's not normal. They even said, you don't even have anybody in your family named John. Elsa's not here. She stepped out. But I remember when they told me that their daughter was named Camden, I said, is that an old family name? Grandmother said, no, that's the name of the stadium in Baltimore. So, Jesus Christ was born and Simeon was blessed to hold him. And Simeon blessed them and blessed his mother and said, behold, this child is set for the rising and fall of many in Israel. And then one more. Verse 36. And there was one named Anna, a prophetess. It says, and she was of great age, and she had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, 80 and fourscore and 4 years, which is 84. And her primary focus in life, this old sister, Anna, was in the temple every day serving the Lord. And it said that she was serving the Lord with fastings and prayers. Now, if you add it up, the Jews would allow young women to get married when they were about 12 and a half years old. I saw some of the young girls raise their heads. It's not still a practice today, but back in the Jewish times. And if you add 84 and you add about the 7 years and about 12, she was older than Sister Perry. She was 102 or 103 years old. And she'd been looking forward to being able to see and hold that little infant. Jamie, I thought we had to wait a long time when you had those twins to be able to come in and see them and hold them. It was hours. It seemed like even longer than that. She waited 102, 103 years, maybe even longer than that. You remember the excitement that you had when you first got to hold your firstborn child? Some of you, two at a time. What a blessing that was, and what an excitement that was. But here's this old lady that was well over 100 years old, that she'd been looking forward to the coming of the consolation of Israel. She had spent her life ministering to people and telling them, there's a Messiah coming. There's a deliverer coming. There's hope. Things are going to be better. And here this little old lady that has served the Lord faithfully, it says, served the Lord with fastings and prayers, told others and comforted others through years about the coming of the Messiah. Here they come along and they place, I'm sure they told her to sit down. She's 103 years old. But they place the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in her arms. And it just doesn't get any better than that on this earth. I'd say she was highly favored. And And it says that, wonder how it was. It says she knew him when they brought her to him. I believe the Holy Ghost was working behind the scenes. It says that, and she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. It's just a miracle that the Holy Spirit revealed to her that he actually was the one. But when he was delivered to her, it says that she knew him in an instant. Did you know that I don't think that we're going to debate whether or not it's Christ when he comes back to take us home to glory, when these graves burst open and these bodies are called forth, and Christ is there to welcome us and to greet us into heaven. I don't think we're going to debate, well, is it Christ or is it not? No, I think we're going to know him just like Anna did when he was placed in her arms. I'm sure she was like Simeon. She probably said, well, I'm ready to go be with the Lord now. I've seen thy salvation. The message of Christ, it's a great message. And as the world gets darker and darker, it's a wonderful message. And it's about the only thing that we can assure you that's going to really bring about joy in this world. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. God bless you.